This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing, Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows, astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today, or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? I got to take over, man. I know you guys are used to Joel doing that. My man's on the injured reserve list. He's playing, but he's playing hurt.
I'm treading lightly.
Tell the people what's wrong with you, Joel.
I wish I knew.
You can tell what's wrong with him if you haven't
heard.
The
voice petered out. I feel fine, but the voice started petering out last night. I don't know if it's allergies or what. I know it sounds like people on other stations that gargle their own phlegm for 3 hours.
But it sounds like you took up smoking.
Yeah, and I didn't do that.
No, you don't want Tyrone to show up and slap the cigarette out of your hand. No, that's my new jam,
new
by
thing.
The way.
Yeah, that's your new
God,
thing.
I love that so much. We're going to talk about that later. But yeah, welcome to the show, Usual Suspects, Joel, Barry, and Nick. Here with you until 4 o'clock. I'm going to drive today. It's going to be different. I'm going to take over so that Joel can rest his voice because we need those silky smooth pipes.
Right.
Like, you sound sexy, though. I like that.
I'm Barry White. It's all about love.
Right? Like, you sound like I do when I'm hungover.
That's what Nick said.
But you're sick. Or is it allergies? Is it?
I feel fine, but I think it's allergy related. Yeah. But man, it got me good.
Well,
find out if you're sick tomorrow, Barry.
Oh,
we didn't kiss,
I didn't
Nick.
Think about that. Yeah, we're not making out yet.
Y'all are sharing the same air.
We could be like cam hoes and make out on the cam and then do that.
That's not going to happen, by the way.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, I leave that to Rahil and Dell.
Do they make out?
I mean, they like the cameras.
Oh, they do?
Although, someone got a little dicey with Dell today.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Yeah, I'm driving in listening and someone commented on the live stream and said, hey, Dell, smile or something because we can't see you.
Uh-oh.
I felt
that's
was racist.
Not smart.
Yeah, I felt that was very racist.
That is racist.
That wasn't very nice.
No, that's very racist. Don't be racist, people.
And then they asked Tyler about it, and he was like, well, I didn't see it that way. I kind of took it as he was just saying you're crotchety. I'm like, really? I would see it as more than being crotchety.
Yeah, that's not nice at all. We got a jam-packed show today.
Yes, we do.
We got a lot of stuff to get to. Not a pleasant day for sports in Houston last night. And we will talk plenty of that. Anything special
happen?
What? Anything special going on in your world last night besides watching all the debacles that were Houston sports?
No, not really.
No?
No. The voice went. The pogo stick dog went in the house way too many times.
I saw the video of the three-legged dog.
He looks happy.
He looks happy. He's getting around well. I was like, that's great.
Yeah, the scary thing, by the way, and he is, and he's been, our other dogs have accepted him, which is great, but you forget he's only, because of all he's been through, you forget he's only 4 months old, so he's not potty trained. So like this morning, I was telling you guys, I took him out twice when I woke up, just because I don't want to clean it up on the carpet or anything like that, and he's all happy to go outside, but he's just sitting there following me around. I'm like, come on, let's go, let's go. So then I gotta go. So I'm like, I gotta go take a leak. So I go in the house, and I hear him kind of hopping behind me, and then all of a sudden I hear him stop. I get out of the bathroom, turn the light off, take one step out in the hallway, and go, oh, splashdown, you left me a lake. So he went outside twice, did nothing, And then inside decided to leave me something you need a rowboat for. So I was like, okay, thanks very much for that.
You
appreciate
know,
that.
I live by one simple rule. Never trust a three-legged dog. And, you know, it's already come back to bite you.
Look, as See? Long as that's all he does, he did drop the deuce outside. So I'm like, okay, we can
that's
live
important.
With the yes.
Really? I'm the opposite.
You rather pick up doo-doo on off your carpet?
Yeah, than pee.
Because it absorbs and
yeah,
it's kind of harder
it runs
to clean.
It, like, doo-doo.
We keep the doors to all the carpeted rooms closed.
Yeah, unless it's diarrhea, then you've got an issue. But, yeah, just regular old poop. Trust me, as a veteran of about 7 years of one of my cats pooping the floor, yeah, I'm glad that he poops the floor as opposed to peeing on the floor. And it's tile, but it's still with stain and... Nah, that's bad news.
Nah, on the tile, it's easy to pick. For me, I'd rather clean up just the pee than have to, especially if the deuce isn't exactly all together.
Really? Just yeah. like broken up?
Yeah, I mean, Play-Doh's one
just
thing.
Scattered
but when
throughout.
We start getting into the oatmeal and below, I'm not digging all that.
No. Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, I'll pass on all that.
I'm with you on that. Anything else? Nick, you went to the game last night. Did you do anything else?
I did not.
After party?
I mean, I had a few beers, but I didn't have like a... It wasn't like it wasn't a huge after party, but I did enjoy
With
myself
Jerome?
After that pathetic excuse of a game. Oh, Jerome! Jerome wasn't very nice to me yesterday. Jerome Solomon.
Yeah, I said, were you and Jerome having beers after the game?
Gee, what happened?
He called me round.
What?
He called me round.
You're getting
big there. I'm like, who asked you, Jerome Solomon?
I'm so stunned that Jerome would say something mean to
See,
you.
The thing about Jerome Solomon is he's going to be 127 years old. And weigh the exact same.
That is true.
He'll never gain a pound.
I mean, I know black don't crack, but I didn't know black don't get fat either. That's not fair.
At least for Jerome, that's the
case.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there's plenty of the exceptions to the rule. But
yeah, that's true. So you just had a few beers after the game and that was it?
That was it, man.
Okay.
Didn't do anything else. Nothing special.
That's good. That's good. I mentioned this a second ago, and I got to say, because you've been on a kick on Instagram with Michael Blackson, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's your jam right now.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And you're not really on Instagram, are you, Joel?
No.
You're not big into the gram?
No.
That's what the kids call it, the gram.
Oh, is that right?
No, I don't know if that's what
they call it.
IG, right?
They do call it IG? Yeah, I've heard that.
I've seen IG a lot.
On IG? Yeah. They do call it the gram,
they
though?
Do.
Okay. See, I'm hip. What can I say? I just
that's your jam.
Just cool happens to me. I just walk right into cool. I'm on this. I remember him coming out a long time ago with videos. I'm gonna try to do this cleanly because there's no way that we can play any of the videos.
Oh, give it a shot. Come on.
I had to make sure my sound was down because if I click on this page, I could be having
just automatically start playing.
Yeah, but there's this dude named Tyrone. And he is a big dude. Like, he's muscular.
He's swole up.
He's swole. And he used to walk around threatening to have sexual relations with other dudes' wives. Long ways. This is what just the clean way of saying it.
Yeah.
And now he's on this kick where, and this, it, to me, it looks real. I wish I knew someone that knew him. I wish we could get him on the show. Nick, as a producer, that might be your task.
It might be possible.
You may have to get this dude on the radio.
Because he's probably just internet famous, not famous, right?
He's got 863,000 followers on Instagram. Yeah, he's approaching a million.
He's internet famous. It's safe to say.
So this dude walks around swole up in a tank top with a do-rag on, and his big thing is bleep cancer. Like, he doesn't like cancer. So what he does is he walks around slapping cigarettes out of dudes' hands. And I don't think this is fake. Because I'm usually, you guys know me. I'm like, oh, that's fake. That, you know, like with the rocket stunts.
Or with Lance. You decipher where he'll.
I knew that
you decipher him right away.
Right away. I feel like, because some of these, like when you watch these dudes that try to fight this guy, they're not pulling punches. They're actually trying to fight this dude, which makes it crazy.
I said to you, though, with some of the guys and how tough they look, I still think there's a little precursor that so that there's no weaponry drawn.
But some of them look so scared when they walk
Those
away.
I'll give you.
But that's what I'm saying. So you don't know how they're going to react. So this dude just walks up. He's like, I'm Tyrone, and bleep all this cancer. And he'll slap the cigarette out of some dude's hand. And then this dude was like, hey, man. And then he pulled a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket, and he slapped that. It's the funniest stuff, man. Look, if you want to follow this dude, y'all need to go get on this on Instagram.
It is funny.
It's NapHill_HD. So it's NAP, HIL_HD. Go and watch some of those. Just scroll down the page and randomly click on some and tell me if you think these are fake or not. Now, he's funny and he does some crazy stuff and he's got other videos. But I'm telling you, some of these, like that one I showed y'all where three guys tried to fight that dude, that looked like a real fight to me. I don't think that was fake at all.
It looked pretty real to me, but I mean, I don't know which video Joel saw that I guess looked kind of fake, but all the ones that you showed, I think I saw, like four or five of you?
Yeah.
The one with the three guys where they come out, like, swinging, though, I think that those guys look hard enough that you would have to determine that.
Well, here's what my theory is it probably, because it cuts pretty quick into the fight. Like, he's dodging, and I have a feeling that at some point, pretty quickly, and he has to yell, "It's a prank. I'm just joking. We're just filming for the internet," and then everything has to calm down, and he says, "I'm sorry," or whatever, because I don't think it would just continue. But he's pretty ballsy if he's out there doing this kind of thing, even as big as he is. Because, you know, he's
thank
like,
goodness the cameraman yelled, but by that time he's only shot two or three times or stabbed once.
There has been videos where he's like, "Yo, my cameraman didn't even try to help me. This was wrong. I was getting beat up. This dude didn't even help me." So, yeah, just go check it out. Even if it's not real, I want to believe it's real because it makes it so much funnier. Eric, we see you too. We're going to get to your call on the Rockets. We're going to get to that. But, hey, look at that. It's time. We got to go to break. So we'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, Joel, Barry, and Nick with you until 4 o'clock. We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Joel, Barry, and Nick, Usual Suspects. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. You can call that number or text it, 713-780-ESPN. You can also reach us on Twitter, at PacManJoel with a K, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny. We've got the stream up and running, which I'm having a bit of a issue. For some reason, won't let me log in to chat with you guys.
Shocking.
But you can go to livestream.com/Gal Media if you want
to
look
at... They are informing us to tell everybody to go to the website and listen live that way because they want to direct everybody to the website.
Okay, it's easier that way. So go to ESPN975.com.
And it's on the front page.
For the live stream.
Yeah.
Okay. For the video stream. Yep.
All right. Good deal. So there's that. You can call. You can text. You can tweet. You can. We don't have Facebook. None of that. We don't have Instagram.
I wonder. I meant to ask the Blitz. I wonder how much love they get on their Facebook
page.
They
used to get a lot. And then I think everybody stopped using Instagram.
And they have
Facebook.
A Twitter account too, right?
Yeah. And Jong monitors that. So sometimes people will tweet.
The Twitter account, I think, is still pretty proactive.
At Degenerates.
Yeah. But I think the Facebook, I was thinking that the other day. I was like, why does he even mention that? Because I'm pretty sure nobody checks
that.
Yeah,
I was
going
to ask. That's because I'm driving home going, I wonder what they get on hits wise on that.
That was ugly. All right. We're gonna address something in a minute, but I don't want to make Eric wait because we have the 15th shortest wait times
in America.
In the business.
I don't even know if he's
in North America.
Well, but maybe he is.
You don't know if he's ready? Let's see.
He doesn't have the check.
Oh.
Oh, Eric, are you there?
Eric.
Eric.
Is Eric there? Did Eric hang up?
It won't let me patch him in for whatever reason.
Well, all right. That sucks for Eric.
Tell the interns.
Yeah. So I had this was funny at the break. Somebody was texting the show and mentioned that I look like MC Search, and I get it. And I know I do. That's been said since I was in high school. So a few days ago, everybody was posting pictures of their original headshots. If you're in the entertainment business in any way, shape, or form, you probably have a headshot. And so that became a thing. It was like old headshot day. So as a joke, I posted a picture of MC Search. You can go to @BarrysFunny on Instagram if you want to see it. It's MC Search in kind of a white sweater. Mm-hmm. He's got his high top fade. He's got his glasses on. He's doing his hands kind of weird, like he doesn't know what to do with them. And I posted it, and I put #oldheadshotday.
Yep.
Now, Joel just said to me at the break, Man, that picture you posted when you had the hair, you looked just like MC Search.
I did. And I said, like, when did you take that? I go, how long ago was that?
He goes, was that one of your original headshots? I was like, Joel, that's not me. He goes, yeah, the one with the white sweater. So I pulled it up and showed him. He goes, damn, dude. Like, that looks like, just like
I, and I, from the get-go, we used to kid him about that, but yeah. I legitimately thought he was just playing along with everybody else on the headshots.
No. And what's funny is my stepdad, I posted this on Facebook, too, the picture of MC Search. I put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And this dude replied, you need to grow your hair out again. I liked this look. He thought it was me. You're my stepdad.
It's easy to do.
How? If my mom would have done that, yeah. Then that would have been it. I would have just disowned everybody. I would have just quit. But, I mean, I get we do look a lot alike. I just wish he was more handsome. MC Search isn't a handsome fella. No one looks at him and goes, he's hot. Like to hit that.
Do you ever get that?
Are you kidding me? All the time?
Really?
No. Yeah. Twice. I've had two chubby girls come up after a show and want me to have sex with them and their cuck husband. That's what I get. I'm about that cuck life. Nope. I'm not about any
Ding
of that.
Dong.
Yeah. And then, Oh, I forget that third one. Yeah. So there was the swingers in El Paso. There was the woman and her cuck husband in Little Rock. And then in Fort Worth, there was the girl that tried to put her finger in my beehole.
Yep.
You remember that one?
I can't believe that.
Yeah. I can't either. Because she grabbed, like, we were taking a picture. She just put her hand down there. And I thought, all right, well, that's weird that you would kind of grab my butt. But then when he goes, all right, say cheese. And I was like, Moon River, what in the hell? And she just goes, gotcha. And I was like, oh, no. That is not appropriate, ma'am.
Say cheese, and here it's melted.
I could not. That's just
Joel's favorite story, no
doubt.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the whole ringing the doorbell
was introduced to the show. Doorbells and road shows. That's what it's all about.
I see a check mark on Eric. Eric wants to talk Rockets. I guess we've put this off long enough.
Well, he put us off, too, though, by
true.
The way.
Eric, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I was hurt by the crowd last night, the Rockets crowd. They're just not into it. Neither were the Rockets. I went home. I drank a six-pack. It was just... They were classless. The fans were classless last night. Nothing but rich white folks that don't know how to cheer. It's embarrassing. There's nothing but the gas face up there.
Okay, third base. We appreciate that. MC Search
reference. Eric.
But I'll tell you this. Now, I did not realize this. I actually got a call on the way home from someone that's a season ticket holder that said they're at it again. They're trying to get the crowd by baiting them with $2 sodas, $2 popcorn, $2 hot dogs, and $5 beers. I was like, okay, well, you know what? It's playoff time, so you got to do whatever you got to do. But then I got a text that said the upper deck is full and the lower bowl is empty. And I didn't realize that. And then you came in this morning and really backed it up. And I'm like, that actually shocks me. And I don't know if that's because they expect, like, maybe the Rockets expected to just breeze through this series and wait for the Golden State series to really get into it or what. But it's playoffs, people. That's shocking to me.
The least attended playoff game this postseason.
That's what he said.
Was really? Last night. Yep. And that's from my good, eyes, man. From my view, when you consider that many empty seats, and I knew something like that was going to happen only because game one, I felt like there was not enough media there either. Like game one, I had three empty seats to my right and an empty seat to my left.
I mean...
Game one.
I didn't get a credential.
Round two.
I knew that was coming up. You know what? But here's the thing. In other arenas, the T-shirts on the, like at OKC, like in Portland, the T-shirts are on the chairs so that people wear them immediately. In Houston, they do more T-shirts because of the fact that they know it hides the fact and looks like people are in their seats.
I don't know if that, I don't see that part. I don't necessarily know if it's true.
Because, it is true. Believe me.
Because it doesn't hide it that well. It doesn't hide it that well. You can totally tell when the seats are empty. I think they want everybody that's sitting down to wear the red T-shirts. That's why they put the cameras on everybody before the game.
They want to guilt them into it, too. But at the same time, believe me, there's been enough meetings where people were talking about, at least with the shirts on the seat, it's not, you can tell it's an all-red chair, at least with the writing on it. On a quick glance, especially between the benches, it looks like it's a little more full.
Yeah.
You couldn't hide the empty seats there last night, I tell you that.
Is that bad?
Yeah, dude. There was too many of them. T-shirts weren't going to do anything for
What was the actual number, and what does the Toyota Center hold? I'm sure they said it was a sellout.
Absolutely.
They never reveal it. Like, there's no, I guess because when
it's
I'm
not like baseball, where
doing Astros
like,
and
they
Texans,
have to on the box score.
In the box
score. I'm looking on the box score on ESPN, and I do not see it.
Really?
They don't have the number. Well,
probably the box score that's printed by from by the NBA.com network or whatever.
Or when you're in postgame at the podium and they hand out those box scores.
That's what I'm talking about. Because that's legit from the NBA. That's like a network NBA system.
Okay. Yeah, that was surprising when you said that, though, because I thought, you know what? I can understand, as we've always heard from people, hey, between parking and getting off of work. But I really thought that this was one where there was enough on the line. It was a big enough game.
Yeah.
Later in the playoffs, make the statement. So that was surprising to me.
I'm still not seeing an attendance figure, but I'm with you. I'm sure that they said it sold out, even though it wasn't well attended.
And they don't have like a PA system like they do in the like for the press box, because there's no, technically there's not, it's not a press box. It's like a press row.
Yeah. Right, right.
But, and you know, when you go to Texans or when you go to the Astros, there's a press box. So there's someone on the PA saying there's this many people in attendance and all that other stuff.
I'm curious if this was because of the fact that everyone in this town thought this was over. It's the Jazz. This is the Rockets are going to roll.
Well, $60 for the nosebleeds.
Two and a half blocks away, the Yankees were in town too.
That could have been part of it, but I would have thought for sure people would be smart enough.
You would think
to say, you know, prioritize, what playoff game versus just a regular ass baseball game.
I'll say this too, because we always get heat if we bring this topic up. But the fact of the matter is, I saw national media, anybody in the market that brings it up always catches some kind of heat.
Oh well, we don't care about heat,
but
I don't. I say no, all the time.
It's always fun for us. But here's the other thing: I saw national media before game one tweeting the same thing.
About how bad it was?
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a bad look. It's a bad look.
It is a bad look. And we'll get more into the game, more into the Astros. We got two more games on the docket tonight that we'll discuss. Ton of stuff. The rundown is full, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 90. What is it? 30 in the rear view, 30.
Not on the 30 minute mark.
Okay.
It's either.
And no, at 90.
Yeah, 90.
An hour, okay.
At the midway point.
The half
screwed
time
it up.
Yep.
This is, damn it.
90 in the rear view.
90 in the windshield. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Screwed it up. I did it at 1:30. That's too soon. I prematurely.
One down, two to go.
Story of my.
2 hours left in the big show.
There you go. Story of my life. Premature. Bing. Too soon.
Hello.
So I'm taking it you watched the game last night?
Yeah, I did.
I'll let you guys go first. Like, thoughts?
Got plenty.
Okay, you spill it. You're the reactor today. You go.
Here's the first thought that I had, and that is, in the fourth quarter, yes, the Rockets shot 25%, but more importantly than that, this is what we've been harping on and I've been telling you guys to be prepared for ever since the playoffs started, and that is, Utah is not only a top-rated defensive team, but they did a hell of a job of making life difficult for Chris Paul and Harden and taking away clear shots, forcing them to move the ball. When they moved the ball, the wide-open guy, on purpose, people, was PJ Tucker or a guy like that. And yep. I said all along, these are the players, the role players, that are going to have to make shots. And it's one thing to ask those guys to make those shots when you're setting the tone in the first half, or you're knee deep in the game, but it even adds more pressure to a guy that's not used to taking those shots when they know it's a 1 point game, a 2 point game, and how important that possession is. Those guys aren't prepared for that moment. They haven't been in that situation like Harden and Paul have, and they really, really cost them a lot last night. And they're a main reason why the shooting percentage was so low. So that was where that was my first thought to start with.
It's a great point, because it was one of the notes that I made too. Because I'm watching this and I'm thinking, why with 4 minutes left or less in the game,
right?
And you're down, you're trying to make a run, You don't want P.J. Tucker taking that shot. No. Now, I get what the Jazz are doing. They're letting him take that. They're leaving him open. If you're going to beat us, P.J. Tucker's going to beat us. We're not going to let these other guys beat us. But the fact that they you know, you move the ball. I mean, if get the ball out of your hands, P.J. Tucker, drive the lane or something. I know that's their offense, but sometimes you're going to have to change things up in the playoffs a little bit. I'm not. If you're the Rockets, you can't let the Jazz force you into settling for P.J. Tucker 3-point shots. You just can't do that.
Here's my problem. My problem is this is a team that even if the 3-point shot is not falling, you should still be able to beat the Jazz. And the Utah Jazz were shooting really well, mostly Joe Ingles. He was the one that was hitting all the shots in the first quarter and had a great game. But it did slow down a bit, and they still weren't able to capitalize. My problem more than anything else was the decision making. And I blame a lot of it on Eric Gordon. You are taking some of the worst shots in the first half. Every time he gets the ball, he's getting antsy and he doesn't know if he wants to penetrate.
We talked about this in the past, the rushed 40-footer.
He doesn't know if he wants to shoot it, pass it up. And a lot of times Eric Gordon has kind of become a ball stopper himself. And I feel like they just weren't, like, there was like 3 or 4 possessions in a row where they just got terrible looks. And I don't know why they even took the shot or the layup or even attempted it. And for me, decision-making was huge. Ryan Anderson, you can donate your paycheck to charity because you're not worth a penny of it.
Or save it because you're not getting another one anywhere near that.
Man, his box score is god-awful. 7 minutes, 0 for 2
checking him in
from the
field for 60 seconds at a time. That shows why you're not, you haven't been getting playing time, dude.
And here's the other thing that goes back to what I said that I wrote about on SportsMap, too, is the D'Antoni trust factor. He put Ryan Anderson out there because he trusts him, because he once started for him, instead of guys that might be able to give you something better and something more than just being a shooter who's unfortunately not on with your shot. I watched over and over again the one play where Donovan Mitchell gets the ball in the corner and you should really be able to squeeze him right up against the sideline.
Yeah.
And instead, he dribbles at Ryan Anderson, who backpedals, then crosses between the two of them, and both Harden and Anderson just flail at him, and he zips right by both of them. I'm like, oh my God, if Utah sees that every single time, they should just go, give Donovan the ball. It makes no difference if there's someone besides Ryan Anderson. Yeah. He's going to dominate him.
Yeah. I don't even know why he's getting a second of playing time at this point. I mean, he's just absolutely useless.
Saw the Gerald Green factor, too. He tried to go to him early last night, and right away he starts cranking, and they're bad shots, off-balance shots, rushed long shots. And at a certain point, D'Antoni was like, can't do that anymore. You go sit down.
Well, I think part of the problem was finding, okay, couple things. Yep. So I totally agree with you on the P.J. Tucker thing, because that was the very first thing that I thought is, good Lord, if this series is in the hands of P.J. Tucker, the Rockets are not going to win this series. As good as he shot the ball, that's still not somebody you want to rely on.
Before we wrap it up, though, can I ask you a question on
sure,
that?
Sure, sure, sure.
Everybody thinks because it's an open shot, you have to take it.
That's why I say drive the lane.
Yes.
Or drive the lane and dish.
Yeah.
Kick it back out.
Kick it around.
Kick it up to the top and reset. I know that there's, you know, 5-6 seconds left on the shot clock. Make one more pass or just drive.
Exactly.
Especially if you've missed, if you're 1-for-4 already, don't take that fifth one. Just drive. But here's the thing. The Rockets shot 27% from behind the 3-point line. They were 10 of 37 from behind the 3-point line. That's not going to happen all the time. So you can take solace in that.
Right.
We know that they're going to shoot better than that. They have all year. So they lost by 8. And the Jazz aren't going to shoot 47% from behind the 3-point line either. That's not going to happen every game. I tell you what, the crazy thing is, Ingles was just absolutely shooting out of his mind.
What was he, 7 for 9 from long range?
7 from 9 from 3-point range. He's not doing that every night. That kid had a career night. And that was the difference. That was the difference in this game.
He's like Ryan Anderson, though. But when he does anything to contribute, that's what he does.
He averages down 11 points a game in the regular season.
Playoffs,
he's got
been a
27.
Better.
Well, it should go down, too, in the playoffs. But even if he gets his season average of 12, I mean, the dude for his career is a 7-point-per-game guy. So let's just say he's getting 15 a game in the playoffs. That's not going to beat the Rockets. But last night, he got 27 because you know what they said? You beat us. We're not going to let Mitchell beat us. We're not going to let Rudy Gobert beat us. You beat us. And guess what? He did.
But you know, Barry, on the flip side, what people are going to say in Utah is, we beat you with Donovan Mitchell in foul trouble and only shooting 6 of 21.
Well, the Rockets can count on that. They had their foul trouble. They had their own foul problems as well early on.
But their stars got big numbers. I mean, that's his first double-double ever in his career.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This was a perfect storm of coincidence that caused the Rockets to lose this game. I mean, they shot horribly.
The one Minnesota win in round one?
Yeah, they shot horribly. You know, they got career games out of Ingles. I mean, you got Burks and Crowder each scoring double digits. Burks almost got 20. How many times is he going to do that in the game?
And he took a lot of awful shots that didn't come close. But yeah, when he needed one, he got them. That was a surprising thing because he's out of control. But he got a couple of shots when they needed him, driving to the basket. The one running one-hander where it looks like he almost pushed off Capella. He got some pretty big baskets for them when they needed them.
Exum had a dunk, pretty good dunk. Exum's Mitchell dunk had nasty, a massive.
That putback dunk by Spider that Mitchell.
That Mitchell dunk was just insane.
That was one of the best dunks I've seen all year.
That makes the whole team feel so much better about themselves. Yeah. I mean, everybody has a boost of confidence when you see your teammate do something like that. They can't allow him to do that.
I hope people realize just how difficult that is, because that wasn't his first jump. That was his off the bounce. I went up. I missed the shot. I hit the floor. I went right back up. Yep. And I went to a level where I could grab that thing with one hand and just tomahawk throw that thing down.
It was like he actually elevated in midair.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like he was in the air and then he was like, oh, I need to go higher.
Climbing.
I was like, how do you do that?
Super athletic.
Yeah, that was some Inspector Gadget stuff.
No
man.
Doubt. I don't know if we have the call of it though, but even their radio guy was wild. David Locke is a good play-by-play guy, but David Locke was even like, I've never seen anything like that before. It was ridiculous what he did. But the thing that stands out to me too, again, because we said this was going to happen at some point, they bodied the hell out of James Harden. They played physical with James Harden. They played mental with him, and they played physical with him, and he played into their hands several times because of the fact that he wanted to draw the fouls. Nick and I were talking about it. Last time we saw it where he got frustrated was the Boston game in Boston in the regular season. He got the two offensive fouls by Marcus Smart, cost him the game. Last night, you could tell it was frustrating him. Exum would get away with the first one, and he's only on the floor because they know he's not going to play enough minutes to foul out. And they're like, keep doing that until...
And, I mean, don't forget that Crowder incident where he's holding the ball. Yep. Crowder tries to grab the ball, and they kind of push and shove each other. And They were in his head. Yeah.
I know they have a history. I know firsthand that they have a history from when Crowder was with Boston, and he was one of the guys, and I'm sure he told everyone in that locker room, you want to know what works with this guy?
Get in his head.
You start talking to him, and then you start bumping him, and then when he doesn't like the bumping, you do it harder, you do it more. When he goes through the lane, give him a shoulder. He does not like it.
But yeah. I don't know if it worked, though.
Oh, it did.
Oh, I did.
I feel like James Harden
was... He's the best player on... He had 17 points in the second quarter. The exchange that you're talking about with Crowder didn't happen until the fourth. It didn't work on Harden. It worked on the rest of the team. It didn't work on Harden.
I disagree.
I completely disagree. I was there, and I'm telling you, it didn't work on Harden. Was scoring.
But I'm telling you, there's more than just the scoring aspect of it, too, because then he's so frustrated that he's going to start forcing shots, or he's not going to do a lot of things. Because
frustration works when you're not performing. Harden was performing, period.
He put up 30.
9 of 22.
He performed. He performed. He put 17 points in the second quarter. The exchange you're talking about with Crowder didn't happen until the fourth.
It's going to
continue.
It
wasn't getting to his head. It got to the rest of the team. They didn't perform.
I mean, the difference in this game was the first quarter. Quarters 2 through 4, it was 80-80. And even it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't, because it felt like the Rockets were just getting run out of the gym in the second half, but they weren't. It just felt like the ball wasn't bouncing their way. They won the third quarter 30-22, lost the fourth quarter 30-23. That's why it felt that way, because it was at the end of the game. But quarters 2, 3, and 4, 80-80, they lost the first quarter 36-28. Utah came out and punched them in the mouth, and they weren't ready for it.
Yeah, and that's happened about 90 times this regular season. It's happened in the playoffs already. That didn't mean it frustrated Harden. If he got punched in the mouth in the first quarter, why did he put 17 in the second?
No, I'm saying in the second half. They changed their defensive philosophy, was more aggressive overall across the board. I'm saying that you could see in
his
mannerisms.
And the Jazz played worse in the second half. They were down 19 points. The Rockets played better in the second half.
See, this is a discussion, Nick, and I understand your point. I'm just saying that based on how many times I've seen him play, and my opinion is that it definitely got to him. And he doesn't like – those situations make him feel uncomfortable. I'm not used to him 9 of 22. I'm not. And I am used to him going to the free throw line 13 times or more. So you're right, he got his, but he got a majority of his in the first half.
I'd be interested to see what was his fourth quarter output.
Well, because the whole team shot like 25%.
Yeah. I'll look it up because you can pull up the
– Yeah.
But in fact, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll pull it up at the break. Right now, though, right now, I got to tell you guys that R22 Freon is going away. I don't know. If you're a homeowner, you need to pay attention for a minute. This is serious because in a couple of years, you're going to be sitting around your house, your air conditioning is going to fail in the middle of summer, and you're going to be wondering why you can't get it fixed. And the reason is the R22 Freon that's currently in your AC unit is being phased out. So in less than 2 years, you will no longer be able to purchase it. Your air conditioning company will no longer be able to get it for you. That's why I want you to call the folks at Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating. They're here to help you. Tom, Brad, and the certified techs over at Courtesy AC, they're going to come out. They're going to tell you whether you can upgrade your unit or whether you need to replace it. And here's why I like Courtesy AC. They're not going to tell you to replace the unit if you don't need to. They may just say, look, yeah, you need to do a couple things. You get it upgraded. You're good to go. They're not going to give you the runaround. They're not going to try to sell you stuff that you don't need. That's not how they do business. That's not how they've been around servicing the Houston area for over 30 years. People talk nowadays. Go read the reviews on the internet, Yelp, and so forth. Courtesy Air Conditioning is the air conditioning company for you. They're going to come out. They're going to take care of your unit, get it upgraded or get it replaced for you, save you money doing that. And if your unit is already new and using the newest requirements, they're going to service it for you because summer's coming. And if you don't get that air conditioning serviced, it's probably going to break down. It's just Houston summers are brutal. You don't want to be caught without an air conditioning unit for even a day or two. Your kids are miserable. You're miserable. Your wife doesn't want to sleep. She's going to a hotel. Call Courtesy Air Conditioning. Let them come out and service your unit. 713-278-9933. That's 713-278-9933 for Courtesy Air Conditioning. Or get more information online at courtesyaconline.com. I see your dirty face.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Usual Suspects with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. How are you enjoying Cadillac in here?
It's pretty breezy.
You kind of like it?
It's not
nice,
bad.
Right? You can sit around and not have to worry. Because I was sitting here when I'm listening to us coming back, I'm thinking... And I got to do it. I got to do that today.
Yeah, I was looking at you like, is he going to do it? Or
yeah. That's Joel. I'm Barry. Behind the glasses, Nick. You can get in contact with the show a couple of different ways. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny with an A. Don't be an idiot and spell it with an E. At the producer, Nick. That's how you get us on Twitter. You can call the show or text the show, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also... look at our beautiful faces on the live stream, and that can be done at ESPN975.com. It's right there on the front page. What's going on? What's up with the Astros? Are they getting blown out again or what?
It was scoreless in the second, first glance.
Because John Parker on the stream said, WTF is going on with the Astros today. That could have been for the last 2 days. Just to follow up real quick.
2-0 Yankees, bottom of the second.
Oh, geez. So just to follow up, I looked. James Harden in the fourth quarter, 7 points. 7 measly points.
2 on free throws, right?
2 on free throws, yeah. He had made three-pointer and scored at the rim. So not great. You look up and down this lineup, guys like Eric Gordon didn't score. Clint Capella didn't score. Chris Paul had 3 shots, a mid-range jumper. A floating jumper, kind of, you know, yeah, at the elbow, and then a 3-point shot. So he contributed a little bit, but all in all, I mean, they lost the fourth quarter by 7 points, and that was damn near the difference in the game.
And the other thing that you guys, we were talking about in the break, Nick and I was talking, we were talking about before the game, before the show started today. One of the big things too, when we talk, go back to Tucker and having the pressure of having to hit those shots, was Chris Paul was passing up mid-range jump shots. That's Chris Paul's game.
Yeah.
Chris Paul is a excellent mid-range shooter. And when we talk about better options and everybody's saying, well, Tucker's got to shoot that, he's open. Well, in a couple of instances, he didn't even have to get the ball because Chris Paul passed up a wide open mid-range shot because they believe in the philosophy, obviously, of threes and layups.
Yeah, and you've got to have your guys taking, I mean, I would rather see Chris Paul take a mid-range shot than PJ Tucker taking a three-point shot, especially down the stretch in the fourth quarter when it counts.
Crunch time.
I want the ball in three guys' hands. James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella. At this point, that's who you're riding or dying with. I know Eric Gordon can be streaky. He hasn't shot it well all year. I want those three guys with the ball in their hands in crunch time. Nobody else.
Yeah, and I really agree with the mid-range jumper part. I think the mid-range jumper for Chris Paul is something he shouldn't steer away from. I mean, I know he's a creator, right, and I know that's his job, but there's nothing wrong with stepping 2, 3, 4 feet inside the three-point line and taking several attempts at a mid-range jumper. Chris Paul is good at it. And you can just feel like when he shoots the three-point shot, I'm not saying he doesn't have enough, like, he didn't have the strength to put it up there. It just doesn't have that same stroke as when he shoots it from the mid-range.
I'll say this, too, and kind of piggybacking off of that. I felt like last night, for some reason, I didn't think, like, this is going to sound so stupid of me saying this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, I don't feel like Harden had, like, the lift on his jump shot. He had a lot of free throws. I feel like they were off the front of the rim. His jump shot at times looked like it was short. A lot of those guys, I'm just wondering, was it like even Chris Paul didn't seem like
Chris Paul was missing free throws too, which is unlike him, or at least one free throw.
I don't know if they were just lackadaisical or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to knock what James Harden did for the game because without him, it's a blowout. And 32 is great, but I just felt like there was something like he wasn't his normal self.
I would say that way. You were in the building. I would say that overall, there was no sense of urgency. I felt like they were more kind of going through the motions, coasting, going at any time. We're going to go on a little run. We're going to put these guys away. We're going to take control of the series like everybody expects to. And even when it got tight in the fourth quarter, even with 3 minutes to play, it was an 8-10 point game. And I felt like they just felt like, hey, we still got time. It's going to be all right. And I just didn't feel like they had that kind of that killer instinct in them.
Yeah, I feel like that it came out of Chris Paul more than James Harden. James Harden had that hesitant nature to him, and I think that's probably why Barry felt like that stroke, or you know, he didn't have enough lift in his jump shot. I felt like he was hesitating more in the second half than any other quarter of the game. But I mean, they cannot do that. They can't have no sense of urgency at all, not even for a minute, not even when they're up 20 points.
Yeah. That's part of the problem. Yeah.
You can't do that.
When do we see Joe Johnson? Because as much as I wrote the article and you look at the bench and you see the minimal minutes by all the guys on the bench, Mbah Moute played 16. And then when you see the guy that had the most minutes off the bench, Eric Gordon, 34 points. Let's call it like we see it, boys. 5 of 16.
Yeah, 5 of 16.
And yeah. Barry, you just got done saying there's a guy you got to go to in the fourth quarter when you're missing 11 of your 16 shots.
Yeah.
And you're relied upon to be the sixth man of the year. And even if you're not sixth man of the year, you've got to contribute more than that.
They said last night that was his first bucket. The first points that he got was the first in the series, and that surprised me. I didn't even realize that after game one. I didn't realize Gordon didn't score in that game. That's not a good – I'm not saying he's part of their big three, but he's a big part of their offense.
And getting back to what you guys were saying on Chris Paul, here's the other thing. We all know he's a good mid-range shooter, but when he's on the floor in the fourth quarter, he is the floor general. He is a seasoned veteran to make the right decisions. And between passing up the shots or setting up guys that he knows Utah is foaming at the mouth going, please give him that shot, he's got to be better than that.
Yeah. No doubt. A couple takers from the text line. Have you ever just had a day at work where you didn't want to do anything, so you just take it easy? Yeah, it's every day for us.
Yeah.
But
it
happens
a lot.
That's what the Rockets did, and it happens sometimes. It's only one game. Get over it. That was from White Magic. Yeah, we take every day off. I mean, we should just call this mail it in radio.
The concerns that I mentioned is because in the event, and I still think they'll win the series, despite that being an embarrassing loss. And I agree. I called it an embarrassing loss, and people got upset with me on Facebook.
Did they?
People are upset with you on the text line.
Really?
That's fine.
For defending James Harden. They don't think you should be defending James Harden.
I think we agree on almost everything. The only thing I disagreed with you guys on is the fact that Crowder got in Harden's head. That's the only thing I disagree with.
Well, but you said fourth quarter. He had 7 points in the fourth quarter. He did not have a good James Harden.
I didn't say anything
about
the fourth quarter.
You said that's when it happened.
No.
When the confrontation happened.
He means when the confrontation with Crowder happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if he got into his head, it would have been way earlier. You get what I'm saying?
I thought at that point is when he did it. At that point, the game was the game.
Like it was literally 5 minutes left in the game. Like whatever.
That was the most crucial part of the game, though. This is when it was close.
But this is after the dagger. This is after it's like four or five minutes left, and they're already back down like 14 points. Like the game was over. You could tell that they weren't going to come back.
Mm.
You could tell they weren't going to come back, dude. I knew the game was over five minutes left.
I disagree because when you got a team that can hit the three like the Rockets can, you could be down by 9 with 2 minutes left, down by 12 with 2 minutes left to come back.
Harden's had 7 points in the fourth quarter, and the Rockets have won by 20. And then you look at the box score, you're like, dang, he had 37 points. It happens all the time.
Okay.
He could have 7 points in the fourth quarter even when the Rockets are playing good.
We had agreed to disagree. It's okay.
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing is just the tone Utah's trying to set defensively. They just are trying to play more physical across the board.
I think so, and it's probably the smart thing to do. They're not going to be able to outshoot the Rockets every game.
That's the bigger thing, too. When you were talking about Utah, Nick, I don't think that they're a good enough offensive team to hang anywhere close to the Rockets, but because of what they're doing, they're trying to muck it up.
And defensively, they can cause them. They can. They're good enough defensively.
You can't fight with that. They're good,
and they're good enough defensively to force you to take shots that you don't want to take. AKA PJ Tucker taking threes with 5 minutes left. They're defensively good enough to rotate away and leave him open and force that shot.
They need to set him up more for the corner shot.
Yeah,
I don't know why he's taking all these.
Even
shots
then,
on the top
I don't
the
want him taking those shots.
He missed two corner threes
in the second
fourth.
Or third quarter. I'm good with that. That's fine. But with 5 minutes left,
that's
and
why.
The game is still close. You need to figure out a way to get the ball out of his hands. Well, and even if it's just James just dribbling out the shot clock for a three, a step back three or something.
Chris Paul, take that shot. Don't give it to him in the corner. Because, again, it's one thing, because you're right, Nick. He's always one of the consistently top three corner three-point shooters in the league. But it's a whole, like I said earlier, it's a whole different ball game when it's a one-point game with the whole stress and pressure of the game on your shoulders and you're not used to it. That's why those two shots in the corner were heading south in a hurry.
Yeah. Chan, we see you. We're going to get to you on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows. Astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today. Or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids. Everything kids love.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.